Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. We're going to be talking about China. We're talking about China and the trade wars that are going on and the possibility that this could be a threat to a hot war. I don't think anybody has it in their plans, but it seems like both sides are preparing for it just in case. And unfortunately, history is on the side of those who argue when you get into a serious trade war and trade conflicts, you do end up fighting, military fights. You know, we want to talk about something, economic and also on foreign policy. Generally on Fridays, we talk about more economics, the Federal Reserve, the inflation, and all those kind of problems, and the malinvestment and the debt. And during the week with Daniel, I generally talk about foreign policy until we got engulfed by the coronavirus and what's going on in our own country. But, you know, I remember one of the early debates that I had probably in 08. It was announced one week that we would be talking about economic policy. And then they said next time we had a debate, it was on foreign policy. We had one economic, one foreign policy. And I said, how can you divide the two? You know, what we spend on the military and what we get involved. And I think what we're talking about today is a good point to be made, because you can't really separate the two, what we do in trade and war and fighting and spending and militarism. You know, every time we get involved in a military situation, it has economic consequences, also civil liberty consequences. So it's really hard to chop the principles of liberty and what a republic should be doing and make it neat, because it isn't. But today, ours will be purposely done to show that what we're doing with China, our relationship with China, and our trade policies that have gone on, it does introduce the notion of militarism. Because if you look at it, there's no hesitation whatsoever to spend money on the military, especially when you have the conservatives in charge. It never has changed, so it makes the point that the deep state is in charge of both the conservatives and liberals when it comes to military spending. But how necessary is it for us to have a whole flotilla of ships, billions of dollars being spent to be in the South China Sea, even though technically you might say, well, those are international waters, we have to protect our interests and our national sovereignty. Well, that's a stretch, because we're trying to provoke and cause trouble and make excuses for building more weaponry, and at the same time, we're having a deteriorating economy. Of course, the coronavirus has participated in that, but that is very secondary to the correction that was made necessary by the foolish, insane policy of the Federal Reserve, that is, monetize all the debt, let the Congress spend whatever they want, increase the debt, and then the correction has to come. We're in the middle of that. So this is something that is occurring right now, and we're facing probably one of the most serious times in our history. Even though we've had major conflicts in the past, I think the fundamentals are more serious. You know, what's happening in our country in World War II, we weren't at each other. 9/11 even, the people sort of came together, but not now. You know, I argue that this is a reflection of the moral and financial bankruptcy of this country. And when you have so much money and you have the reserve currency, you really don't have to balance the books, but eventually you do. And I think that's what's happening. We're in this transition. We've had these policies with China, and now we have the economic and trade policies, but it's a blame game, and we're not innocent. And because Chinese at fault, but we're at fault too. We only have jurisdiction over ourselves. You know, we can't say, well, China, you do this and this and this. But quite frankly, I think, our trade policies have not been good. And it's amazing to me how many so-called establishment economists who were never for tariffs and sanctions, or, you know, since Trump's been in, there are four of them now. But they do not work. The reason they have them is always stretched, and the people who suffer, they never want to really count the people who suffer. If you get into a hot war over all this, everybody knows that, in the past, it's the people who get drafted by our military to go in. They suffer. But even now, in the so-called Cold War battle with tariffs and sanctions, the people who suffer, so a lot of times it's the people, not the governments, that we're trying to sanction. The same way with the people here. We say, well, we have to have protectionism, you know, because we want to protect our workers and we want jobs to stay here. You know, it really doesn't work that way. Tariffs are a tax, and the tax falls on the middle class. It doesn't enhance, economic wealth. It destroys competitiveness. It destroys the whole situation of people getting along together. And I am reminded of the principle that Bastiat made so clearly. He says, if goods and services don't cross borders, armies will. And a lot of people have said that, but I guess not too many people believe it. But this is, we have these economic problems here at home, and just look at the flotillas, the ships that are building up. And to me, it looks like just provoking. You know, why do we have to do this? We have technology now with drones. We can go to any place in the world without leaving even our own country. And they're talking about a missile that can hit any spot within 1 hour. And they're working on that. That's our government. And they argue, well, China has one too. So that type of attitude is building up. And I think they're lining up too with their alliances. And we have a few allies that we have, you know, identified with. And unfortunately, that opens up the door, you know, like Taiwan and Hong Kong and India and these other places, they're fighting with China too. So that exposes us even more. So I think this is a very good example of why trade wars are bad. Inflationism is bad by the Federal Reserve. Military industrial complexes are bad. And the principle of non-interventionism is starving for some support. So that's where we are today, Christopher. Chris, and we'd like to go ahead and get your comments.
Yes, Dr. Paul, and you know, there's only one way to make America competitive and attractive to entrepreneurs all over the world. And it's the one way that everybody wants to avoid. And that's why nothing changes. We absolutely need to cut American government interference in our economy. We have millions and millions of bureaucrats in America. There's agencies galore, regulations, laws, subsidies, bailouts, all of it. And even look right now at what we're living through. We just have, at the moment, about 50 million Americans that filed for unemployment. And about, I read, close to 100,000 businesses that are not going to reopen. Now, who did this to us? Was it capitalism and free markets? No, it was American politicians, mayors, governors, by dictates, not even, you know, going through their legislatures, just dictates. So America has a huge, big government problem. And until we address that, nothing is going to change.
And Chris, you make a real good point. And language is important because what do we call it? We're getting punished by the radical left, the Marxists, by saying, yeah, what you're talking about is capitalism, American capitalism, free enterprise, individual liberty. Look at what it's done. And our economy is in shambles, and we're on a military bent on trying to provoke problems around the world, and the spending, there's no containment. I see the big problem there as calling what we have today free market capitalism. And it's done all the time by conservatives. I see it. The system we have today is that part which they call free markets. At the same time, we have the cultural and economic Marxists coming in. And look at what you've given us. It's a real mess. There's a distortion of wealth distribution. We have tremendous deficits, and they can list the problems. And many of us would say, yeah, that's right. They say, that's why you have to give up, this capitalism stuff. Of course, I don't like the word capitalism as much as free markets. But anyway, they blame capitalism, their free market, for what we have. And at the same time, it's It's not that at all. It's corporatism. Corporatism is interventionism. It's designed to help the corporation. And that's why both parties are corporatists. Even when they deal with medical problems, they want corporations running it. And even when Obama had Obamacare, that was corporations, the insurance companies and the drug companies and the hospitals running, you know, the hospital providers. It's all part of the corporation, and they argue, Republicans, Democrats argue about management and who gets first choice and things like that. But if that doesn't change, if we keep saying, and I hear it all the time, you don't have hardly anybody ever on TV say, well, yes, you're complaining about what we have, you know, to the Marxists. If you're debating a Marxist, you should say, well, yeah, I agree with you on that. This is a mess. But it's not because we don't have enough government. It's because we have way too much government. And it's all beneficial to the banks and to the corporations. And they take it out on the middle class. And that message is very similar to what they propose. But what they do is decide that liberty doesn't enter into the factor. And we're convinced that liberty is the answer to this, that you can undermine corporatism and fascism and all forms of socialism and controls in a much better manner. I think a good example of the difference has been this, how this coronavirus has been handled. We've had viruses for hundreds of years, and we've gotten through with them. But this has been used by the corporatists. It's been used by the deep state. It's aggravated the economy. It's made things worse. And the danger has not been anything close to what they have described for the American people to just roll over. If you want me to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask, because we have to do it for our safety and the safety of the world. And they don't have anybody there presenting the case for common sense and what the market would say, but we have government telling us that. We have the Faucis and Bill Gates of the world. For certain reason, they become, final say on what's going on. And that's the wrong way. But a Marxist comes in and there'll be this agreement, yeah, things are bad, but they're going to say, what we need is more control, more authorities, and make sure that everybody is absolutely equal to each other, which is an impossibility. And then how do they handle the monetary issue? They just ignore it. Just print the money. It doesn't matter. All of it is based on theft and intervention, authoritarianism, use of force, and versus our effort is to do it through volunteerism and honest money. And there's a big difference. And our goal here in this program is to try to get as many people to understand or at least look into it. And don't accept this thing automatic that if a country is beating us, like Chris has already pointed out, maybe we're at fault. Maybe it's the fact that we have the reserve currency of the world. Maybe we've interfered and our responsibility is there. But to say, yes, it's wrong. There's too many jobs leaving this country. But you have to say, well, who benefit? Well, it's usually our consumers. But when you say, well, you can't buy tennis shoes from China at $20 a pair instead of $100 for people here at home. Well, why wouldn't you allow people to spend the money they want? They have a moral right to do so. But if they did, they could get their shoes, have $80 left over, and maybe invest it in this country or whatever. So, no, the markets, competitive markets are great. But when you destroy the competitiveness of what countries can produce across borders, then you really play havoc with the markets. I think that's what's happening right now.
Right, Dr. Paul, and there's things that can be done to raise our standard of living. And you mentioned the militarism, and that is a major, major drain on our country. You know, we have, I believe, 1,000 bases peppered all over the world with troops in these bases. This is not productivity. You know, all these troops, imagine if they were here in America creating products and services for their fellow Americans. Instead, they're sprawled out all over the world, and we have to pay to have them out there. And we pay, you know, it's beyond belief what we pay. It's unbelievable, you know, and the big corporations here, they make these weapons for destruction. This is not productivity. When they're dropping bombs all over the world, how are we? We're not benefiting. This is not putting food on our table and more wealth, more goods, more services. It's all just destruction. So again, this is a big American government problem. And this is not to say that China is an innocent ape, not at all. Not at all. But our concern is America, and that's why there are things that we can do to bring prosperity back here, but it's very hard to convince the vested interest to change.
Yeah, and I think our government's oversimplistic when they say China's responsible for all the problems. They're responsible for some, and we're responsible for a lot more, and we really only have the sovereignty over our country, not over China, so we should deal with our problems here. Motive and what drives our foreign policy now and our economic policy is, since China is so bad, they cause the virus and everything else, we have to punish them. We have to punish China, and that is what their goal is. And right now, Pompeo is on the side of really punishing people. Once he decides they need to punish, we got to punish North Korea, we got to punish China, and the rest of them all. But Pompeo said that we should be ganging up on China more, and we have to get the European Union on our side for this, and endorse all that we do. And he may end up doing it because we do have clout. But that once again, there's a lot of hesitation. As we weaken with our foreign policy and our monetary system, financial system, Europeans are becoming more skeptical of what we're doing. They right now are not so gung-ho to just go along with us, especially with some of the policies in the Middle East and putting on sanctions in countries there and dealing with Iraq and Iran. They were much more open to dealing with the Iranians, and we were at a time until the agreement was canceled, which hasn't helped anybody in particular, other than the deep state, and moving in the direction of the military monolith that they see as absolutely necessary for world order. And for that reason, the world order with military power has to be balanced and worked in with the financial power, with the dollar being the reserve currency of the world. And both are being challenged, and who knows? The end stages of events like this can come very quickly. It could come in 6 months from now, it could come in 6 years, but it will come, because this is not viable to continue to do what we're doing.
Yes, Dr. Paul, I'll finish up by saying, the end stages can be very scary, and I have ancestors on all sides that fought in wars, and it's the worst thing imaginable. And when you see people get fired up about other countries, it doesn't take much to then start a hot war, which would be a total disaster. It's always wise for an individual when he has a problem to say, what is it about me that put me in this situation? What can I do to improve myself? But that's not common. It's common to say, it's his fault. How can I fix him? And what ends up happening is everybody tries to fix everybody else, and nothing gets fixed. We're Americans. We have no love for any other country at all besides this one. And our primary concern is the government that rules over us, and they do it at the expense of our liberty. And the American government, it's sad to say that it's America, is the biggest government in world history. That has come at the expense of our prosperity, our liberty, and our standard of living. It would be right to address that, to shrink this so that we can have those wonderful things again.
I frequently talk about the non-aggression principle, because it fits my philosophy, my personal beliefs, economically speaking, but it also fits my personal spiritual beliefs, because it is so simple, and if everybody followed it, it would certainly be a peaceful world. We know that's not going to happen, but just moving in that direction would help. That is, that for a society, a world to exist in a half-decent place, attitude, is to everybody say, I'm sworn to not initiating force against somebody if they haven't hurt me and they haven't done anything or they don't threaten me. All of a sudden, there'd be a lot less violence in the world. And on a personal level, that would be very, very beneficial. But this should also be applied, with sovereign nations. And that is why we talk about the non-aggression principle and the non-interventionist principle with our foreign policy. That, yes, there's imperfections around the world, but, we're not having this discussion, with Canada. I'm sure somebody will stir it up and there'll be some trade arguments and all, but basically there's no military base, build up, and there's people go back and forth until just recently. We could in my lifetime, I've lived on the northern border and our southern border, and I could just practically, drive your car over and drive your car back, but all that is disappearing because of this change in attitude. But the principle has to be to bring people together is that we aren't going to use force and violence to have our way. Does that mean we endorse what they do? If we don't try to tell people how to live, that means you endorse their life. Spooner said that vices are not crimes. So if people are committing vices, if other countries are committing vices that are hurting themselves, they're not crimes, and we don't have the sovereign right to get in there and decide this is the way you're going to do it, it's our way, because you've canceled out all the effort to get along with people. But the greatness of this country has been that we had a lot of free markets, a lot of property right protection. Our court system, imperfect as they were the best in the country. We still have it. But going through Russiagate and what's happening now, there's not a whole lot left to our system. But there are bits and pieces. There are some people out there. There are people in the economic field as well as the judicial field. And they're thinking along these terms. But our voices aren't heard. But the way I figure and why I keep at it is there's a lot of people out there we don't even know about. And there's a remnant out there that knew about it in the past, and they are clinging to it and hoping they can help bring it back. But there's a new remnant, a new source of small groups and number of people who know and they care about it. And I am convinced that ideas have consequences. It's not a numbers game, and ideas spread and you can't stop them. All this warmongering that I'm talking about, they can't stop a good or a bad idea. We didn't stop the communist system from taking over the world. They couldn't stop our founding fathers to introduce this to a country where basically, and fortunately, it was mostly designed to promote individual liberty. So I still believe it's in the area of ideas and also persuasion and voluntarism is way to go. And how can people stop and say, oh no, I don't agree with you. I don't think there should be anything voluntary about it. If people aren't doing right, we need to teach them a lesson. Look at what they might do. Yeah, if they cross the line and initiate force against somebody, that's a different story. But if the rule is no lying, cheating, or stealing, which is a pretty good rule, it's been around for a long time. It wasn't invented in the last 100 or 200 years, thousands of years, they've recognized that you shouldn't kill people, you shouldn't steal from people. And yet here we are, and that's all we do. Our government is based on theft. You know, that's what taxation is. Taxation is theft and control of the way we live and do it. People, if they can go by and say, well, we may not believe the coronavirus was nearly as bad as they said, but we have to obey them. We have to do it. And the other side is saying, what we want is we want to have control, because yes, we're not selling a wonderful idealistic system. We want a system where the authority is in our hands and we can tell people how to live, how long they're going to live, and whether or not they take vaccines or whether they don't. And that's where the real problem is, the authoritarianism that bubbles right out if the people with beliefs in the non-aggression principles either don't understand it or don't care, or they want to ignore it, or for whatever reason. But I am optimistic enough to believe that our ideas are alive and well. They're out there, and I really believe they're growing. I think there's been a change in attitude right now about the foolishness of the lockdown with the coronaviruses, because the data has not been reliable. But every day you read the announcement, it's worse, 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 panic, run. Where are you going to run to? The news is out there. You're not going to get it automatically on the internet, but it's on the internet, and you're not going to get it from your newspapers because there aren't any left, and you're not going to get them from the major networks because they're a part of the deep state, but there are people out there, and they're on the radio, and they're doing different things. And as I often told the young people I talked to at universities, all right, you're all right, and we agree with you, but tell me what I have to do. Of course, my answer is simple. Do whatever you want to do. You know what's wrong, and you know it has to be done. Spread the message. That is the answer to our problems. And as long as a person has a reasonably good understanding about what liberty is. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.